Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Kurdistan Connection with myself, Matt Broomfield, here on Media News. So as listeners will know, on this show we try to put the events that are happening on the ground in Kurdistan in a broader geopolitical context in various ways. And today I'd like to look a little bit at that issue, but also to step back a wee bit and look at the historical context around some of the links between Kurdistan and the outside world. This week, the week that this will come out, marks 25 years since the capture of Abdullah Öcalan, the man known as the Mandela of the Middle East, the Kurdish leader who spearheaded such a significant movement for the Kurdish people and also attracted unprecedented worldwide attention for his unique political philosophy and his movement's efforts to put that into practice in Kurdistan. And since then, since that capture, there's been a lot of international solidarity and support for Öcalan, and perhaps the leading force in that, certainly in the UK, has been the trades union movement, which has long stood in solidarity with Kurdistan and with Öcalan, but also with other struggles throughout the global south and throughout the world, in fact, in many forms. So I'm very happy to be joined today by Mike Arnott, who is the president of the Scottish Trades Union Council, TUC, and secretary of the Dundee branch as well. Mike, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, perhaps we could just begin in quite general terms. You could kind of explain for people why should trades unions in Britain take an interest in what's happening in the Middle East?
Well, it's an international justice call, really. We've long been in solidarity with international issues, one of which I'm also active in historically, is the commemoration of the Spanish Civil War and the international brigades who went out to fight in Spain to defend democracy and the democratically elected government against a fascist coup. And that was very much supported by the trade union movement because they understood how important it was to defend democracy and to defeat fascism. It's an element of international solidarity, supporting workers in struggle, and that was all bound up in what happened in Spain. And if we carry that forward, it's important what happens in other places. Come forward to the 1970s, Chile, when the Chilean coup happened in 1973, we had a famous case of factory workers here in Scotland who stopped working on Rolls-Royce aeroplane engines, jet engines from the Chilean Air Force, and basically wouldn't touch them, wouldn't let their management touch them for years as they rusted away in the back of the factory. And that's now famously recognized in the film called Ne Passeran, which came out a few years ago. Again, solidarity with the international movement and the move towards the end of apartheid in South Africa. A lot of that was done through trade unions, through COSATU, and through their movement, making links with the trade union movement. And again, with Palestine, and as you've already said, with the situation of the Kurdish people and the oppression they're suffering in Turkey. These are all recognized as international issues of oppression and have been taken up by the trade union movement in Scotland, in the UK and beyond.
Have you had the opportunity to speak or engage with colleagues, comrades from trade unions in Turkey, where they also face attacks?
No, our links are basically through Scottish Kurdistan Solidarity Campaign and the various links that we've made but not specifically with trade unions, although we have joined in and messaged when there have been online solidarity appeals. I remember one particularly when there was a brutal assault on thousands of people trying to make their way to a May Day rally in Turkey a few years ago, and they were beaten up heavily by the security forces. So not had the opportunity yet, but we'd be glad to do so if that circumstance presented itself.
Certainly. And perhaps I'm always slightly wary of drawing easy comparisons between the Scottish people and the Palestinian people or the Kurdish people, but with the caveat that they're very different circumstances, do you find that there's a particular sort of feeling of support or comradeship or solidarity between people in Scotland and the cause in Kurdistan?
I think there is. I mean, there's a Kurdish community in Scotland. I joined quite a number of them outside the Scottish Parliament about 2 weeks ago to protest against Scotland's First Minister. Hamza has decided in his so-called wisdom to invite Erdogan to come to Scotland. And there were quite a number of people who were outside the Scottish Parliament trying to suggest that he changed his mind, as it wasn't a very good idea. And the people of Scotland, looking to the future, would look towards a more progressive foreign policy. And we didn't feel that that was represented by an invitation to the president of Turkey, given what he's doing to the people of Kurdistan, based on what he's doing in north and eastern Syria, and the general level of oppression he's subjected to trade unionists, journalists, women, and others.
So I suppose, yeah, the visit of Erdogan, as it happens, is contextualized by Israel's ongoing aggression against Gaza and against the civilians in Gaza. You've visited Palestine, I know, in the course of your work, but you could speak about that experience and maybe about any ways in which you see similarities between what's happening there and what's happening with the Kurdish people.
Yeah, well, the city I'm here in, Dundee, we twinned with the Palestinian city of Nablus over 40 years ago. We were the first city to twin with a Palestinian city anywhere in the world. And I remember as a teenager meeting the mayor of Nablus when he came over to Dundee to sign that twinning agreement, in his wheelchair because he'd been blown up in a car bomb by the Israelis. And over the years since, many cultural groups, visitors from Nablus, political links have taken place between Dundee and Nablus. And just over a year ago, November 2022, Dundee Trade Union Council sent a deputation to Nablus to meet our trade union colleagues in the PGFTU. So it was wonderful to go over there. But again, seeing how people try to operate under occupation, very, very strained relationships, trying to represent Palestinian workers who work across the border in Israel, because the minimum wage in Israel is higher than it is in Palestine, the fact that Israelis need Palestinian workers, ironic to see the destruction in Gaza, because Israel is largely, and for the last few years, has largely been built not only by Palestinian construction workers, but with Palestinian stone that's been imported into Israel with very little compensation or recompense to Palestine. We saw the settlers being protected by the Israeli Defense Force. We had stories of settlers raiding Palestinian olive groves. We met firefighters who Dundee sent two fire engines and firefighting equipment over to Nablus about 13 years ago. And we saw a fire engine in operation and heard for the firefighters when they're attending, maybe the settlers have set fire to an olive grove, they respond and the Israeli Defense Force will stop them, will make them take all their equipment out of the fire engine, will make them undress from their uniforms, and then after they've taken all this time, allow them to put everything back again. And obviously by the time they reach the scene of the fire, everything's burnt out, which is what the Israeli Defense Force were intending. So yeah, very aggressive settler and Israeli Defense Force oppression. We heard drones flying over all day and all night. Before we went and after we went, we were aware of IDF incursions into Nablus in which people had been killed, summarily executed, when the Israelis were apparently seeking to detain people who nonetheless end up dead, most of them young people. And most of them engaged in a spirit of resistance, because you have to have a spirit of resistance. And that's what we see with the our Kurdish friends, a spirit of resisting and being able to and having to resist. In a very real sense, certainly in the attacks on Rojava, in the attacks on North and East Syria, in attacks on Iraq as well, when the Turkish Air Force were bombing Iraq and settlements of the Kurds in that area. So yeah, there's a long tradition of being opposed to injustice and supporting people who are facing injustice. And the oppression, both militarily but also culturally, the oppression of the Kurdish people in Turkey, but also in for example, in Iran, the military attacks in Syria and Iraq. Part of that is due to the history of what happened to Europe after the First World War. And that's another link. What happened in the Arab countries, what happened in the Middle East, and the division of countries and the drawing of lines very much affected the settlements we see today politically. And that's true of whether it's Iraq, Iran, Syria, Palestine, or whether it's Kurdistan and the various countries that they're that's divided into, because that was very much the victors, particularly France and Britain, deciding who got what and which countries got what in that post-war settlement.
Absolutely. I've recently been speaking to quite a number of people in Balochistan between Pakistan and Iran. It's almost uncanny, because it's like the same conversation I've had with people from Palestine or with people from Kurdistan, but just, you know, different conference, different date, different border, different guy doing the signing, but yeah, quite similar in many respects, sad to say. So I suppose, you know, as you've said, there are links between these struggles, particularly in the Middle East. Understandably and correctly, as a kind of response to the general media position on Israel and Palestine, a lot of the left is, in its internationalist focus, very concerned with what's happening in Palestine at the moment. What are the reasons for people in 2024 to also be worrying about raising their voices about what's happening in Kurdistan, and particularly the detention, continued detention of Öcalan?
It's a hard sell at the moment because of what's going on in Palestine. Palestine has dominated the agenda. It's almost knocked Ukraine off the agenda. And because there was a lower base of recognition for the situation with Kurdistan and with Abdullah Öcalan, it's been a harder thing to publicize and to get support for. The support is there. The support is a recognition is there. Certainly through the trade union movement in the UK, they are aware of the situation of Öcalan. They're aware of the situation of the Kurdish people. But to get a large response at this time is difficult. I'll give you an example. We have our Scottish TUC Congress coming up in April in Dundee, and they've just announced the agenda. There is one motion on the agenda concerning Öcalan, which actually came from Dundee Trade Union Council, and there are about eight from Palestine, from large unions as well as trade union councils. So obviously the heightened attention on Palestine has been, you could argue, to the detriment of the issue of Öcalan being able to be advanced and publicized the way we would like to. But it happens anyway. That campaign is still ongoing. The emphasis on what needs to be done is still there.
Absolutely. And do you think there are kind of, as on the opposite side, I suppose, as well as the sort of the violence which is faced by the Kurdish people, the state violence, which in some respects is similar to what the Palestinians and other people throughout the Middle East are going through, are there particular reasons to be interested in the positive vision being put forward by Öcalan, being put forward by the Kurdish movements?
Can they be
something different to the region?
I mean, Öcalan's development of his political thought and how that can be a settlement or a solution to the situation of the Kurdish people in Turkey and in other countries has possibilities, real possibilities for other parts of the Middle East. And I would argue beyond that, democratic confederalism, the importance of the role of women, the autonomous organizing from the ground up, the inclusiveness of involving various Christian, Arab, Kurdish, and other ethnic groups and religions into a united movement, into autonomous organizations to drive forward that idea has immense possibilities for the rest of the Middle East. You can see in Iran the way that women are being oppressed, many of them Kurdish, but that call that's coming from women for greater freedom. If you look wider into the Middle East, some of the major oil countries where the position of women has been historically downplayed, and they've suffered oppression, organizational, political oppression because of their gender. The fact that the Rojava experiment, which is successful, and what Öcalan's proposals could mean for that situation could be game-changing for the whole of the Middle East. I know when Öcalan was in Italy, he inspired many. There are trade unions in Italy that try to model their working practices on his theories. There are municipal leaders in Italian cities who try to take lessons from democratic confederalism as a way to organize their communities in their cities. So the possibilities are endless. And he's, I mean, very much like Mandela in the prison, in an island prison, a leader of his people, trying to lead them from oppression. His release could mean so much. And another person he reminds me of is Antonio Gramsci, the great political theorist who wrote many political articles on the way forward politically in prison and in prison notebooks and diaries to try and move people forward and the progressive movement forward. So he stands for me within that kind of pantheon, and the possibilities are endless, really, if he is able to be released and allowed to take a part in negotiations.
Absolutely. I mean, as you very eloquently described today, it's a dark year, a dark time for the Middle East and more broadly across across the world. And at this time, it's very important to keep thinking about these ideas, these democratic proposals as well, and also to have continued solidarity from across the world, and particularly from the trades union campaign. I know from my time in Kurdistan means a lot to people there, particularly those behind bars, I'm sure. So, Mike, thank you for joining us today and for sharing your insights. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you very much. And that's all for this time. This has been the Kurdistan Connection with myself, Matt Broomfield, and Mike Arnott from Scottish TUC. Until the next programme, goodbye.